What's up, I Do Podcast listeners?
Welcome to the show, where we interview the world's leading relationship, marriage, dating, and self-help experts. Whether you're dating, single, married, or struggling in a relationship, we're here to help give you the tools to succeed.
On today's show, we welcome Dr. Jane Greer. And Dr. Greer is a nationally renowned marriage and sex therapist, radio host of the Dr. On Call show, and creator of Shrink Wrap. Her book, What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship, is available nationwide. And Dr. Greer has so much great information for us today, where we talk about how to know if you should take that relationship to the next step. So we've had a lot of you guys message us asking, my partner wants me to move in, or my partner wants me to move cross country to move in together, and I'm just not sure. So we talk about taking that next step. And I love how Dr. Greer gives us practical tools. So something as simple as asking, hey, what side of the bed do you like to sleep on? And making sure that that's not going to be an issue. It sounds silly and kind of elementary, but it's an important thing because those things add up. Living with another human being is complicated. Some of us are really particular about where you like things. I'm not necessarily. I'm actually pretty messy. And Sarah is quite a bit cleaner.
He's very messy.
It's all relative. But that's an example where had we just not really been living together a little bit before we made something official, she may not know that I tend to leave my clothes out everywhere. And then all of a sudden I move in without ever really spending much time living together. And I'm just driving her nuts because I'm a complete slob. I'm not that bad. But and that could become a real point of tension for the relationship, and it's just not going to be a good situation. So that's some practical things. But then emotionally, on a psychological level, as far as if the other partner is meeting your needs and if you're meeting theirs, and how to figure that out, the questions to ask yourself and the questions to ask them to really have the conversations that you need to have before getting engaged, before moving in together, before these big things. It's so funny and that a lot of times this is just not happening. I hear of people that they're getting married and they've never even lived together until after they're getting married. And now I'm sure some of the times it works out, but man, I couldn't imagine, because that's just it's an abrupt thing. Even if you're going to seamlessly go into that relationship after getting married and you're going to live together and it's easy, but a lot of times it's not. So Dr. Greer has a lot of great information for us on the show. And as always, we really appreciate you guys listening, sending us messages, emails with your problems, with your ideas for topics, and for leaving us reviews on iTunes. And you can always support the show by leaving us a review. We really appreciate it. We love it when we hear that our guests in our interviews are helping you in your relationships.
And I do want to make one point. We had a listener leave a review a couple weeks ago, and they mentioned how the podcast wasn't so 50-50 in regards to Chase and I evenly sharing the mic. And I just want to say that I totally get that, and I am trying my best to improve. I think Chase is really good at what he does, and I'm trying to get there. So I just want to say that I am trying, and thank you guys so much for sticking around. I know I'm not on the mic all the time, but I am here and trying to help you guys improve your relationship.
I'm just a blabbermouth. I know. I know Sarah's voice is much sweeter and nicer to listen to, so.
No, you got a nice voice.
Well, at any rate, we appreciate you guys listening and enjoy today's show.
Support for I Do Podcast comes from Talkspace, the online therapy company that believes that therapy should be affordable, confidential, and convenient. Join over 500,000 people who have used Talkspace for online therapy with their licensed therapist. Get $30 off your first month by visiting Talkspace.com/I Do. That's one word, I-D-O. That's Talkspace.com/I Do. Hi, Dr. Greer. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you both.
We've given our listeners a little overview, so why don't you take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships.
I love working with people to help them make their relationships better, because so many times when I'm working with couples, they are caught up in loving one another and not quite figuring out and understanding why they make each other so miserable. And so there's the desire to be together and have fun and you know, just enjoy life and time together. And yet there's all this other unwelcome, unexpected stuff that comes along, the fighting, the bickering, the why did you say that, the I'm upset with you, I'm mad at you. And for me, being able to give couples the skills, the tools, if you will, for being able to talk to each other in a very different way that is not laced with blame and criticism and cutting comments, but instead is packed in love and caring and support. And, you know, it's like what a chiropractor must experience when they are able to massage that knot in your back out, and suddenly a person is not only out of pain, but walking straight and able to enjoy sports. That's what it's like when couples get along and are able to talk and communicate and hear one another and are not walking around harboring resentment and anger. It just changes the landscape of your life together. So I love that.
I love that analogy. Doesn't it feel good when you get that back cracked and now suddenly you're able to move better? So those things in the relationship can be valuable too. And I love how you said that to help couples not make each other so miserable, because it's like the cliche, love hurts, because it can be so good and it is a lot of times, but our partners, our loved ones know how to push our buttons, how to get under our skin. So that's why the information that we get on this podcast and give to our listeners can be so valuable to help navigate the good times, but certainly the bad things. And today, there's so many things we could talk about with you because you have so much experience, but we've been getting a lot of listeners sending messages and they ask us, they're unsure if they should take that next step in the relationship. So an example would be someone asking, we had a listener ask if they should move cross country for their boyfriend, and they were just up in the air, and that is a big thing, but the same thing could be applied to moving in together if you already live in the same town, or certainly getting married. These are all things that you might like this person, but taking that next step, moving in, getting engaged, those are big steps, and it's important for someone to recognize the qualities that maybe early in the relationship, it's hard to see because you're drunk and in love and you don't see the key things that are going to make it a lasting relationship. So let's jump right in. And what is one of the first things someone needs to recognize before taking that big step?
So actually, you know, a lot of times when people are trying to evaluate a relationship, is this a good relationship? Should I go forward with it? Are we ready for the next step? They do a lot of external checking, looking at the other person, how are they, who are they, what are they doing for me, what are they willing to give to me. And I actually encourage people a lot more often to look inward, because being ready to move in with somebody, even if it's across town, or move in even if it's across country, really has to do with how ready are you to compromise, to share, in a way that is not going to feel like giving up or losing out. And by that I mean, when you move in with somebody, you have to share space. You have to share time and space. And we all get that, but most people don't get what that actually breaks down to. It's like taking a fraction, 100/1,000 and turning it into a half and breaking it down, although I'm not very good with math. Having said that, it really breaks down into, well, wait a minute, I need that closet. What do you mean you're taking the closet? Well, why are you leaving dishes in the sink? That's not how I do things. It's why are you coming home at 6 o'clock when I wanted to go out to the movies at 7:30? Sharing time and space and accounting for your mutual needs and being able to find constantly, continually work at finding that middle ground and compromise so both people feel their needs are being considered without one person feeling resentful is very challenging. And so a lot of it has to be, is your partner ready to do that? Meaning, are they going to be flexible and responsive to your needs and accommodating? For example, one of the people that I see was exactly this. We're ready to move in together. We're ready to take the next step. And so they were at their partner's apartment, and they got there and realized there was no space for them, truly, in the closet. And maybe there were like two drawers. And so it became an issue like, well, wait a minute. You're going to have to make space for me. You're going to have to make room for me. And, of course, people have very different styles. Most people, usually the person who's very organized and neat and doesn't want a lot of stuff out is with somebody who loves to have their things out and leave their stuff on the chair and put their things on the table. And so immediately it's like, well, wait a minute. Aren't you going to clean up this table? And the other person is, what do you mean clean up the table? That's my stuff. I know where it is. So you have to be ready to compromise and share. And if you're going to take an inventory on your partner, they have to be ready and willing to have conversations and discussions with you about compromise and sharing space and the logistics so that both people will feel that they have enough of what they need.
I laughed a little when you said, when you mentioned about leaving your stuff everywhere, because that's kind of like Chase and I's really, he's rolling his eyes at me right now as I say this. But I mean, we're similar to that, where when we first moved in, he likes to leave his stuff everywhere. And I'm not the cleanest person, but I do tend to want to keep things tidy. But on that note, do you have any recommendations when it comes to moving in? Is it better that two people get a new place together, or should one person move into the other person's? Is there any more of a success rate?
You know, that's a great question. And obviously, the optimal ideal is to be able to go out and start with your new place and space together. But the reality is that finding a new place, timing for people, availability, financial cost makes it oftentimes just impossible, you know? So inevitably, one person very often moves into the other person's home. And usually that's the person's home where they've migrated to along the way, where suddenly it's reached the point where you're making so much draw space, or you're there so often that getting your stuff from your place is such a hassle that you say, you know what, just on a practical level, it makes more sense for me to be here and have all the things that I need. So, but what is really important and what's really helpful is to mark that you're going to be moving in together. That you're officially defining that you're moving in together. And then talking about what your needs are going to be in terms of living. Like, all right, look, I'm going to move into your place, but I need at least a closet, or I need at least four drawers, or I'm going to look for, you know, this side of the bed. Or let's just talk about, you know, the TV. How are you going to be if I want to stay up and watch television? Because I know you like to go to bed early. Do I need to watch outside in another room? Do we need to get a headset? So that you start to look at all the corners that are going to need to get turned, where you're going to need to take sharp turns and navigate your differences so that they don't become combative arguments and cause for resentment.
It's so important. Like we talk about so much on this show, and I'm sure the advice that you're giving your clients, but communication, because it's one thing to hear this and understand what the information you're giving, but it's another to actually apply it and straight up ask your partner before you're moving in, before you're taking that next step. Like, even if you need to write it out, like, how are we going to navigate sharing this space? And it's going to maybe seem a little tedious or a little silly or elementary, but it will save you a lot of headache, and there won't necessarily be those big surprises when someone's like, no, I need the right side of the bed when I'm moving in. So it's such important information.
You said it, because, you know, you're used to sleeping on your side of the bed. Suddenly you're sharing a bed, and if you both want the right side, you've got an issue right out of the gate, and nobody saw it coming. So, people don't you think you're, oh, we're in love, and this is wonderful, and she wants to be with me all the time, and he wants me to move in with him, and that's wonderful. The only thing is to deal with the practicalities of it and not just think your love will carry you through, because the only place your love is going to carry you through is to the next chorus and verse in a song. It's not going to carry you through, you know, some of the speed bumps and potholes that life offers in living together.
In addition to communicating those requests or what you like to have in your living space, do you recommend any other tools, maybe writing it down, not making a contract, but something where it's more of a physical thing where people can look at it and reference back to it if needed?
Well, you know, it's always good to write down what you think you're going to want to have in place or what you think your partner wants to have in place and go over it. But a lot of times you don't know it until you're in the midst of it. For example, one gal moved into her boyfriend's apartment, and so she was cleaning up and making things spiffy and putting things in place, and so she moved the chair. You know, it was just a chair. And here she'd cleaned the entire room and the apartment, and everything was nice and spanky clean. And of course, you know the way this is going to end. He comes home and is like, why'd you move the chair? So,
right.
You know, my chair. People are very territorial about their space and have all kinds of feelings about their belongings being displaced. And so if you write down or address ahead of time, look, if I clean things or put, is there anything you want me to leave alone? Is there anything you want me not to touch? Are you going to be okay if I look to paint the room? The things that you want to do, make a list of those things, of how you'd like to kind of make your new living space your own, particularly if you're moving into your partner's place, and then share that with them. You know, here are a few things that I was thinking about. I would like to add a couple of paintings. I had a couple one time. She didn't realize that he was a devout sports fan, and he had all the, I forget which team it was, the Red Sox, all this Red Sox paraphernalia. And she was like, there's stuff everywhere in the apartment. And what about me? You know, which is the title of my book. What about me? One person experiences the other person's needs as being completely selfish. And the other person's like, well, but why? So writing down what you think you're going to need and going over that with your partner ahead of time always will put you one step ahead of the game.
These are all really great practical tips for this circumstance of taking the next step, moving in. And I'm kind of curious, and I'm sure our listeners are, is besides the practical stuff, on more of a, I guess, emotional, psychological level of needs being met emotionally, how would someone know that a partner that's like, hey, move cross country, we've been dating, I don't know, 6 months, but we're madly in love, it might seem a little impulsive. What are some questions that they can ask themselves and maybe even their partner to see if emotionally that is the right decision?
Well, I think, you know, it's the question is, it's always about what am I gaining as opposed to what am I losing? And so asking yourself, do you feel that you're happy and gaining a partner that you can trust and will be supportive of you, that you feel will have your back and be in your corner? Are you able to talk about and work out some of the differences that you have and the difficulties that you have? Are you able to share certain, tastes and habits together, so that if there are things you don't like, you're able to spend time apart and do the things that are important and come back together? It's really, do I feel understood by this person? Do I feel supported by them? Do I feel accepted by them? Do I feel understood by them? And can I trust them? Those are really the important things.
Yeah. And those are all great things that someone should be considering. And it's easy, I think. I'm just picturing Sarah and I's relationship was very gradual, the way we kind of started off and let in. And there wasn't, I guess, like a dramatic thing where she had to move cross country it just kind of naturally happened, where she was spending more and more time at my apartment. And so we were kind of living together in a sense. And I'm sure this is a lot of other relationships too. And we were sort of feeling each other out that way. But then I hear of people who are getting married and they have never lived together, or, obviously one party is spending the night, spending a lot of time at the other person's house, but it's a completely different thing when you're completely together. So the practical tips that you were giving are super important. And then emotionally asking yourself the question, does this person understand me? All of those things you were saying to me, it's about making sure that the relationship is not just surface level, that, okay, you have fun together, okay, you're sexually attracted, but after all that's said and done, like, what are you gaining on a deeper level for yourself and through the relationship is such an important question to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's translate it into, what does this all mean? Support, being understood, having empathy. So it looks like this. You come home from a long day where you just, had a harrowing experience with your boss or your colleagues employees that you're managing are being difficult, or your friend is being obnoxious and, unavailable to you in whatever ways. And in whatever it is, you're upset. And you come in and want to talk to your partner and let it off your chest. And they're not interested. I don't want to hear this. I had my own troubles from today. Keep it to yourself. I'm not interested. Let's just go on about your day. So that's one scenario. Or you've had a long, long, long day and you're completely depleted and you want to come home and just open your mail and retreat and not talk to anybody and not deal with anything. And your partner's like, all right, come on, let's talk. Let's go over what we're going to do for the weekend. I want to tell you what happened with, my friend or the kids or my mother, whatever. So those are just two of 1,000 different scenarios that can happen at one point in any given day to a couple. And so being supportive, being understanding, means that instead of the person who comes home and wants to talk and their partner doesn't want to hear it, their partner can say, I'm sorry you had a really bad day. I'm sorry to hear that. I'd like to be able to go over with you. I'm feeling a little, worn out right now. Can we talk about it later tonight or maybe tomorrow? So that instead of just rebuffing them or saying, look, I'm not interested, I can't deal with this right now, they relate to the distress that their partner's in and tell them when they'll be available. So that instead of their partner feeling rejected or neglected, they feel cared about, even if they're not having a hands-on conversation right at that point. And the same thing, the other person is coming home and they're exhausted and they don't want to have a conversation. Instead of their partner feeling they're not interested in me, they haven't seen me all day, now they don't even have 10, 15 minutes to talk to me, instead, by communicating and saying, look, I'm so happy to be home. I'm so happy to see you. And I want to spend some time, but I'm absolutely knocked out from this day. I need to reboot. I'm going to take a half an hour, go through the mail, watch a little TV, get my energy back, and then the night is ours. And then I'm on hand and we can spend some time. All of that will make all the difference in the world. But most people don't do it. Most people get caught up in what I call the tit for tat. The person who's exhausted from work comes home expecting their partner to know they had a really rough day. And if I say I'm exhausted, you shouldn't hassle me and expect anything more of me. I had a bad day. And the other person expects their partner to come home and know that they've been waiting, or they are looking for companionship, or they haven't seen them. And to be able to say, look, you know, there's nothing more I want to do than talk to you. Nothing's more important. So nobody speaks to the feelings that each person needs to hear, so they don't feel related to. They feel rejected, ignored, misunderstood, and neglected instead, where the right communication can give you a bridge across the water. Without it, they both implode. And I cannot tell you how many times I see this with couples all the time. I mean, you know, there are certain Achilles heels spots for couples. And one of them is when they reconnect after a day and come together, how they meet and greet and spend time with each other, given where they're each coming from and what they've been through respectively on any given day.
What do you tell your clients to kind of get over that hump? Are there any specific tools that they can use to prevent those big arguments at the end of the day?
Well, I encourage them to talk to one another about their needs. Look, I need some time to re-energize, or I need some adult conversation if they've been taking care of a baby or children, or if they're, you know, not working, looking for work. I need to run things past you. So first, to address what your needs are with each other, and then to acknowledge that you want to meet the other person's needs, but you're dealing, here's what I'm dealing with, and then move into a problem solving mode. All right, how do we work it out? If you need a half an hour, you know, instead of taking an hour and just going into the room and watching TV, supposing you took a half an hour, rebooted, and then could we talk and meet? So that you've got to be able to acknowledge the other person's needs, the way that they feel, and then figure out together how to find a middle ground.
I love that. And Sarah and I have been doing this lately where we both work from home and we have a almost 2-year-old daughter, and we both have a lot of work, and it's been pretty stressful. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to similar situations. Don't have babysitters, don't have a lot of family to watch her. So we have to talk to each other and work out, okay, how can I help you? I'm going to watch Stella while you work. And we basically come up with a schedule each day and develop something where we're able to compromise and meet halfway, rather than me getting frustrated that I don't have enough time to work, and it can just, and it, and we have been in that situation where that in the beginning we weren't communicating well on that, and it was frustrating. So it's so important to really stop and talk about each other's needs. And if you're considering moving in or taking that next step, these are key things that you want to start early in the relationship, not after you've moved cross country to live with your partner.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes people will say to me, oh, it doesn't feel romantic, though, to have to talk about all this. And I say to them, well, here's the thing. If you want to keep the romance, this is your insurance policy. Because by talking about it, it will clarify things. It'll carve the way for both of you to be clear and know what you're getting into and some of the changes you're each going to make. And most importantly, that these changes you're both making mindfully with intention, because you want to, not because suddenly you're forced to out of these new living arrangements.
Exactly. Well, there's so much great information we've given our listeners. If you're considering taking that next step, hope you took notes and apply this stuff before you make that move. Now we got to move forward to the lasting love round. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Talkspace. If you listen to this show, you've heard us talk about it probably for about the last month. And what it is it's an app that connects you with a licensed therapist handpicked just for you for as little as $32 a week. And listening to this podcast is great. You're going to get a lot of great information from our guests. But a lot of times, to really see change in yourself, in your relationship, it's helpful to talk to a licensed expert. And that's what Talkspace makes it easier than ever to do. So what you need to do is go to Talkspace.com/I do. That's one word. And you will get $30 off your first month. That helps the podcast, it helps us, and it's going to help you. So again, that's Talkspace.com/I do. That's I-D-O. And you will get a $30 discount on your first month. And you're going to improve yourself, improve your relationship from the comfort of your home off of your smartphone. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today.
What is one tool or practice our listeners can use on a daily basis to help improve their relationship?
One tool to improve your relationship on a daily basis is to say something positive and acknowledging, where you express appreciation for what they are doing. And so often the smallest things, whether it's a cup of coffee or doing the grocery shopping or picking up the kids, whatever it is that's sort of standard responsibilities that each one knows you're handling, get just taken for granted, and the other person doesn't really know that you know what they're doing and appreciate it. But to say, listen, for the record, thanks for doing that. A small thank you is like a home run on a daily basis.
Absolutely. That can go so far in helping the relationship. Is there a book or resource you can recommend for listeners who want to improve their relationship?
Well, absolutely. I would say then you want to read my book, What About Me? It came out of listening to everybody talking in their relationship, but what about me? You know, you want this, but what about me? And it's called What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can go on my website, drjanegreer.com. My favorite chapter in it is Chapter 2, If You Loved Me, You Would, because that is the working assumption that everybody has with every need they have and every request they have of their partner. And I get this from, if you loved me, you would eat Italian food. If you love me, you would have sex 4 times a week. To the flip side of it, if you loved me and you know I hate Italian food, you would never ask me. If you love me and you know that I'm exhausted and only want sex once a week, you would only ask me for once a week. So the challenge of living and loving one another and making a life together.
Great. We'll also have your book on your show notes page on our website at idopodcast.com. And our listeners know to go there and click on the link and they'll be able to buy it right through Amazon as well.
Wonderful.
We've been married for 2 years now. Is there any advice you'd give newlyweds?
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, I would say having made it through the first 2 years, that's a good solid down payment on the next years coming around the bend, because the first 2 years are really hardest. You're going through everything we've been talking about, working out who does what, who gets what, who has what, you know, whose friends you're spending time with, how many times you're seeing each other's family. So it's sort of like all the negotiating goes on in the first couple of years. And so now it's about looking at your future together, planning out your short-term goals together, and most importantly, enjoying your time together so that you don't get too caught up in daily living and lose sight of why you're in love, why you're living together, and how happy you make each other and how you want to please each other, so that you don't let what I call in What About Me, a little paper cut build and build. And, you know, one paper cut is just tiny and it's annoying and it doesn't, you know, all right, it goes away. But 10 paper cuts and ow, you can't use your hands. And a lot of times people will have a paper cut and let something incidental, oh, it's not that important, oh, I don't want to talk about it. So for now, pay attention to the small things, tackle them in the moment so that you're not dealing with anything that's going to become too hot to handle.
What advice would you give our single listeners looking for a happy relationship?
Well, I would say the most important thing is to keep putting yourself out there. I mean, people have all kinds of apprehensions or reservations about how they go about meeting somebody. I work with people, they don't want to go online. I work with people, they don't want to talk. But truly, if you put yourself out there in whatever way is comfortable for you, if you don't want to go online, get out, take a walk, talk to somebody when you're online at the grocery store or the drugstore or waiting to get into a restaurant, put yourself out there, go to a party, put yourself out there, ask your friends, do you know anybody you could connect me with? Put yourself out there, go online and say, you know what, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to meet other people, but more importantly, to learn more about myself so that you don't feel like you're going through all this trial and error and, you know, this one does, you don't like this one and he's no good and she's no good, but rather, I didn't realize that I felt like this about this book or that place to travel or this would upset me in conversation till I was talking to this person. So use being single and meeting somebody as an opportunity for more self-discovery.
Put yourself out there. I like that motto. Well, we've really enjoyed having you on the show today. So let's wrap up by having you tell our listeners where they can find you and then we'll say goodbye.
Thank you. Well, you can find me if you're looking for phone, you can reach me at my New York office, 212-688-7020. You can find me on my website, drjanegreer.com, and you can reach me at my email, drjanegreer@me.com. That's D-R, no period, J-A-N-E-G-R-E-E-R at M-E.com.
Our listeners can find all the information and links to today's episode on idopodcast.com. Go to the podcast tab and you'll be in the archives.
And again, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show today.
Thank you for having me. You guys are adorable and great and lots of good luck in the years ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you haven't done so already, head on over to our website, idopodcast.com, to check out this episode's show notes and to sign up for our newsletter.